So the floor is open. If anyone has any comments you'd like to share about any of this, please feel free.
Surprised, I got a lot of relationship advice that it might be useful. But just that compassion that you spoke of, that comes from dispassion, that calling to be truly spiritual, a true warrior of love and light, and to always be here and now, and not allow the galloping horses of the ego to betray my fidelity to the self and to God and to the Dharma. And I felt very, in his very non-violent way, that call back.
Thank you, Nirgun. Some beautiful words. I appreciate the depth of your feeling and your receptivity to the beauty and the truth that he embodies. Marjee Huma.
Provided to the reality of the serving that is the nature of the heart. To serve, to be free of that I thought that's always thinking about itself. And that egocentricity. The ego's monad, they can't see outside its pain and its suffering, and how he was that living proof of what is to gain, was to be gained when.
What we are to gain when we sacrifice egocentricity, and proof. Living proof of the beauty of the human essence. And I think for this being, it further validates the only purpose in life, as he so clearly knew so early in life, which was to be in union with the Buddha mind. And from there, radiated out to all. And although he spoke so much about suffering, you know, I couldn't really tell that he was suffering. I think this is how I relate to what you said. It was really his dispassion. And from that dispassion, he could connect to all who were suffering. And with such peace and clarity, without having to prove any point, to be free, what it was would be like to be free, and to serve God and the Creator and all His, her creation. So I am very healed and fulfilled by this tribute.
Thank you. Beautifully spoken. I agree. I think he embodied that mythical moment when Shiva swallows the poison from the ocean and then turns it into nectar. He contains the poison that people have within them and is able to give them back that energy as peace and love and compassion and wisdom. And that's really all of our function as yogis. I appreciate your being such a beautiful model of that here. Thank you. Swati?
Thank you. Thank you also for this tribute and your beautiful heart opening and wisdom about this teacher, and I feel very resonant with what Marjiva Ma shared. It was very powerful. That was what it was. The, I guess, kind of surprising experience I had while watching this was the power of peace, because he transmits it so through and through and so beautifully, and his conviction to live in peace and put that into practice. It's so simple and yet so powerful. And I think that it's easy to overlook the power of presence and the power of peace. And it was transmitted in his wisdom, but also in his, obviously in his presence. And as Nirgun mentioned, the eyes, like the eyes of the, like of like innocence and total presence. And it was astounding to see that look in someone's face of just being totally present. And he said this comment, if we know how to handle the present moment, we won't have to worry about tomorrow. And there was a lot of wisdom in how to, I love, that was also part of the empowerment for me, was if you know how to handle your suffering, you just become much more empowered. Then you don't have to worry about the past or the future, and then of course you can help others. I'm going to say a couple more things that I that stood out for me. One of them was the nourishing of the desire to be a monk. That was very touching. At age 7, he allowed that event to stay present with him and nourished it. And it was very reflective, even though we hear that and we get showered with nourishment on how to keep that impulse deepening, jouissance and the ego's will to exist overrides, I think, as Marjiva was saying, in different words, and that choice is, it was very beautiful to see that. It's like the antithesis of jouissance. And he said the intention, which he was calling the beginner's mind, this intention protects you. And I thought that was also beautiful in his story about overriding that deviation of, I could have been married and I could have had a child in a second, you know, wasn't stewing on it. And this idea of the protection of the intention was, I thought, very beautiful. He said part of being a monk is having enough time to practice for your transformation. And I took that to reflect to my own desire and let's say, to clean up the karma so that things aren't complicated. I know this is why we have dharma, and this is why we have yamas and niyamas, so that we can focus on what's important and not have a bunch of, you know, complication to deal with. And so there's time to drink a cup of tea for an hour and savor it, or whatever it is. And then I guess finally, the point of happiness being alive, and it needs to be fed, and love needs to be fed, and these kind of simple, kind of seemingly simple ideas seem very practical. And the way he puts them was, it's such a gentle way. It hits the heart. And I was reminded, I told you in the car on the way up, this is what one of his books was, my first kind of introduction, or one of the first introductions to spirituality, this book, Being Peace, that I read when I was 16, and it was like a little handbook. It was like the only sanity I felt that was coming into my life was this book that gave a promise that everything could be responded to and handled through being peace. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I feel very grateful for this evening, so thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, and I appreciate those very deep reflections, and they're very, very key. I think we need to really appreciate what an extraordinary achievement that simplicity is. The human ego is so complicated, and it's complicated at one level and complex at another level. And they're two different things, complexity and complication. And to be able to resolve the complexity and the complications, and to become simplicity, and to actually be in the present moment, it's almost an impossible achievement. It can't be done within the ego level because of those divergent drives that are always in conflict. So it can only begin to be achieved at the soul level, where there's a yearning for that simplicity, the recognition of its beauty, of the greatness and the creative genius that it allows to flow, that can only come out of simplicity. And that simplicity, because once you reach the Atman, the absolute level of total simplicity, you contain all complexity. You contain it all, and you understand it, and you can resolve the complications in others because you have gone through it within. And that is a great gift, to be able to contain and resolve and to bring the essence of one's simple essence as one's core out from its obscured place under the complications to be fully revealed. And it's that capacity to assist in someone's self-revelation of their inherent beauty and luminous presence as the simplicity of being itself that is the great offering that we can give to the world through our having achieved simplicity within. So I'm glad that you appreciate how important that is, and you've made that your aim. Mm-hmm. That will bring you to liberation very quickly.
Mm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I mention one more thing that was very moving about tonight? Because it came up twice, first in your introduction, but then also when Tai was speaking about his experience of Martin Luther King being killed and being assassinated, and this having lights in the world go out, and the I felt in touch with the pain of that, of when there is somebody who's actually living for peace, and there's very few of those lights, and when it goes out, that there's this feeling of loss that I felt in touch with tonight. But your teaching and his teaching helped me to, kind of quickly respond to it in the way of not turning it into sadness and mourning, but exactly keeping the event open, keeping it alive, how to actualize the inspiration.
You have to realize that his light has lit your light, mm-hmm. So the light continues, but now in your form, it's the same light.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to, actually, I was reflecting on this point about simplicity in particular and in the part where he was walking so slowly through New York City, because I used to live there. And I thought, I don't even walk from my bhavan to the lodge that slow in the morning. I'm always like trying to do the most amount of things I can in between these two places. And even to see him walk that slow actually was bringing up a little bit of anxiety. Like, how is it possible to come so deeply into the present moment? And yet, of course, that's the goal in a way of meditation, but, and have all of those people follow him in that. So I thought that was a very, very beautiful, and just the walking meditation, just to in every moment see the clouds or the flowers and the birds and really be able to take that in. And even within the interview, I think others have expressed that essence of peacefulness was there in every single question that he answered, even when she says, "Do you exercise?" And he brings it back to practice. And that's really beautiful. And you know that that's his life and his calling, probably from his soul since he was 7 years old, completely unwavering. I think that that's so inspiring. But also throughout the interview, even when she said, "Were you sad when you were not able to go back home?" Or when he was angry when Martin Luther King was killed. But I got the sense that those feelings weren't there with him anymore, that it was completely in the space of emptiness in a way, or dispassion, as you said in the beginning, where he was unaffected and his spirit was just radiating. And there were a couple of things that he said, I think, that speak to what you just said, that fear is based in wrong perceptions, but that loving speech could be one of the remedies. And I was reminded, and he says, "Tell us about your difficulties, I want to understand." And we, in this way, we can learn about our own perceptions and those of others, and then there is peace. And I was reminded of these kind of encounter groups that we do sometimes online. And sometimes people speak about things that have nothing to do with anything, and you can see that they just want to be heard, or they want to be seen, or they want to share whatever it is that's going to allow them to feel that there's someone there containing them. And I think that that's such a good practice. But it also reminded me of the Zhuangzi's perspectives, and this kind of multifaceted diamond, that everybody has a different kind of piece of the puzzle, but it's all just part of the one puzzle. And that's why there is the ability to come together in peace. And the second thing that he said that reminded me of this morning's teaching was happiness and suffering inter are, which is a very funny way to say it. But as you're saying, that suffering is the wish-fulfilling jewel. and he also spoke, I think you did this morning too, about the lotus, how it grows out of the mud. And I mean, I know that in my own illusion of suffering, that there have been just giant moments of growth and understanding that arise out of that. And I guess you called it the divine journey of a human being. I think that that probably encompasses that. And thank you for this evening. It's really beautiful to be able to honor him in this way. I remember actually one of the first things that I ever learned as meditation was like, breathe in, be aware of your body, and breathe out, be aware of your body. And it's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you for those. Also very beautiful reflections and insights. And I think you brought up a very a key point, that it's almost like, how does he dare walk so slowly? How does he dare waste an hour drinking tea without even multitasking? You know, he should be at least on the internet and answering telegram messages and doing 10 other things while drinking the tea. You know, what's wrong with you, Thich Nhat Hanh? You know, so we are all commanded to multitask and not be present and overachieve and yet accomplish nothing because we weren't present for any of it. and just be a nervous wreck at the end of the day as a result. So his refusal to be drained by the anxieties that the culture demands, and bringing peace and refreshment into every moment through touching into that ever-present eternal life that springs out of his heart. That's a beautiful example of how we can live without ever being worn down by all of the duties of that life forces us to fulfill, and do it joyfully by being in the present moment and never thinking about the burden of, oh, I have so much I have to do before, you know, all the deadlines that make us feel dead, and to be free of that because we have the lifeline of the eternal present. So thank you for that point. Jagdish, let's...
As ever, thank you for this extraordinary evening. What I felt with this interview was containment, absorption, being a power within that was one with Thich Nhat Hanh, and that beingness that was with Thich Nhat Hanh is not normally part of one's consciousness, this consciousness. And what was most, it was soothing and enveloping. He made so much sense, and there was always the sense of, yes, that you, of course, Thich Nhat Hanh, you've got it. The there it is. But then when he said in relationships, darling, I am there for you. Darling, yeah, I suffer. And then there was a contraction.
Oh yeah, Vulcan can never say that.
Can never fathom that. And this is, and so, well, the implicate is the explicate. Mm. And just as he had to be banished from Vietnam because he could not be, no one in the ego mind could fathom that energy that he was expressing, that honesty. No one could be honest. No one could dare go against the party line. And that is also the implicate of the internal party line that cannot let one's barriers down or recognize the pride in suffering. And you mentioned in this last retreat how we suffer and we are proud of our suffering. And that pride, that self-righteousness, which is such a cancer that is hard, it's to release that, to face it and come to overwhelm it with love. And with sincerity and humility is to embody Thich Nhat Hanh, that freedom is such a joy to watch and aspire to and be.
It's beautiful, Jagdish. I would like to add that the pride of the suffering, it's not evil. It inter-is with the humility of the joy of being free of the suffering. That pride came from surviving a situation where you would have died if you didn't have that pride. It kept you alive, literally, through a period where there was total neglect and lack of love. And if you didn't have that pride, there would have been a withering away. And so in a way, that enabled you to overcome the lack of love in the soil through which you were raised, and keep yourself untouched by the pain of it. But now you have the capacity, darling, because God is there for you, and we are all here for you, to be able to let go of the pain and the pride that is there to keep the pain from overwhelming you, and turn it into the wisdom that you have earned through the ability to endure through all of that and become great in the generosity of spirit that you have, but only you can never feel, because you are not allowed to be touched by love. Since you refuse to be touched by lack of love, by anti-love, you taught yourself not to need to be touched by love. But now you can touch the love in your own heart and be able to share it without hiding it from yourself. And it's that freedom that will bring you into liberation.
Darling, let's dance.
Always. Okay, I'll pass that. Thank you.
Namaste. I remember watching this interview.
Yes?
I'm not ashamed that I used to watch Oprah Winfrey, because there was a time she would showcase some pretty transformational personalities, and she gave them a platform. I think what really impressed me about him was, there are many people who write books and will give talks or whatever, but he didn't just sit in a monastery and meditate, and he got out and was public, and that takes a lot of courage. His message is so simple, like you said, so clean and clear, and to get on a public stage and risk, you know, defamation or humiliation in a time when it's like you were the voice that nobody wanted to hear. That takes such amazing courage, and takes such dedication, such inner dedication, and such surrender. And I just felt the power of that, the simplicity and power of making that kind of a decision. What a powerful decision that is, that now your life is just a living example of that, no matter what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And beautiful. You know, I would feel very blessed to have my life be as dedicated and as absolute as that.
I feel it's becoming that. I see you actually being very courageous and claiming that power and living that life now. So you deserve a great deal of credit and appreciation for the courage that you have, and you're speaking publicly right now. And it's very beautiful to see your own transformation and allowing your greatness to emerge.
I appreciate that. So, yeah, I wanted to acknowledge a great being who has done much to uplift many, many people.
Indeed. Thank you. Someone else have your hand up? Tara, yeah.
Thank you. As everyone said, it's been a very moving evening. And I think the main feeling I was left with is it seemed very possible. You know, sometimes hearing talks from sages, from great beings, it's just like, well, I can never achieve that. But maybe, as many have mentioned, and you were talking about that simplicity, it's just kind of like a, like I feel like a resting in the heart or something, like a very, it felt possible, or, and it's very, very impacting. A few key things, you know, when he was talking about how that the benefits of living that life is that you have the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm often thinking that I sometimes make jokes to Vajra, like, well, imagine now if we were moms in, you know, back in London, we'll be like taking the kids to ballet practice and football practice and going to family dinners you don't really want to go to, and just your life is full, right, of all this stuff. But but am I really making the best of the time, right? I've chosen this life, but am I really making the most of it? So I very much appreciate, as many have mentioned, that point he made of, you know, we most of us are sacrificing the present for the future. I also had similar feelings to Vajra when he was talking about this, when you were mentioning the slow walking, this kind of, there's that kind of like, wow, you're just gonna walk, you know. It's fascinating because somebody asked me yesterday how my Sunday was, and actually it was probably one of the most peaceful Sundays I've had. Punto, maybe. It was very peaceful, but I didn't achieve much. So when somebody started asking me, I'm like kind of starting to scramble, like, well, I didn't, you know, like why? I was kind of weeding and cooking, but there wasn't like I achieved many things. So it's interesting, like because you can waste time, like there are Sundays, you know, it's just like endless YouTube and then, you know, you feel bad afterwards, like dirty that you didn't do anything. But then if you just fill it with these achievements, and even just on a daily basis, like I do the loop, but it's kind of like to do it, right? So that I can say I've done it to myself, not just to enjoy the meditation of walking, right? So anyway, it's been a beautiful evening to kind of continue what's already been going on in my mind recently of like, how am I spending my time and what do I enjoy doing and what brings me happiness, and not trying to just do something to tick a box or do this whole multitasking thing like you mentioned, like walking to the lodge, you know, checking the phones and email, like it's just endless. It can get very, we can make our lives here very complicated. I can make my life here very complicated and not benefit from this life. So that's really important. And also, I know many people have mentioned it, but this point of, darling, I'm suffering, I need help. You know, in those terrible moments where I've been feeling the most suffering and pain, like all the ego wants to do is just curl up, and it convinces me that's the best thing for me, right? Just shut me off. But every time I do reach out to whoever it is that I need the help from and ask for help, it instantly releases it, and it's hard to remember that because I forget and then I go into it again. But I know it's true. It always helps. If you ask for help, you instantly feel the relief of it. So, mm-hmm. And there's many more things I could say, but I think that was the main things. Thank you.
Beautiful. Excellent insights, I think, that are applicable to everyone, and I appreciated the understanding that achievement isn't about how much you do, it's how present are you, and the realization that you're not the doer in any case, and to shift from doing to being, which I think is really what he's representing in his life, that pure beingness that is always in a flow state, a wu-wei state, right? That this is something that is our natural way of living, and that I see you aspiring to return to that, and it's a very beautiful example of how we can all be in that state, having learned the hard way from the experience of being over preoccupied with achievement to letting go of all of that, because it's just baggage and superego demands, the guilt feeling, I'm not doing enough, all of that. By letting go of that, there's peace. And what greater achievement is there than bringing peace into the world? And if you have done that of a Sunday, then it's been a beautiful day indeed. So I hope more of us have that kind of a Sunday every day and bring that peace fully into the world without any embarrassment or fear that we're not doing enough, and let go of that fantasy forever.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tara. Okay, Amrita.
Going on that, I'm thankful for this evening. I feel much more at peace and harmony within myself. And I felt that his presence was very palpable within the talk, even though it was probably a long time ago. And just being in the... his reminders of being in the present moment, I felt was very key, like it felt very simple and like easy to hold on to in a way. And maybe that's why he's touched so many people, that it feels very resonant with what's inside, as he was saying, the beginner's mind.
Yes.
How everybody has this calling, and to be in touch with it, and and how he was changing the questions around of how Oprah was talking about what is an enlightened being, or what does that mean, and he's like, everybody's enlightened, and I just thought it was a very peaceful and also a beautiful reminder of being in the presence and what it feels like to enact that. And I felt he just embodied that in a way that the words were pointing at, but he was actually holding that space. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very key point that you brought up about beginner's mind, and that we all need to be in that state in which we are not dependent upon some capacity that we can prove, but always in a state of openness to learn, and never have to fear being ridiculous or too elementary or not knowing the ropes or any of that, that most people feel like they have to hide, and that people are so anxious about speaking or about participating because how will other people see them and all of that. But if you're in beginner's mind and you say, okay, I don't know anything, I'm totally open to the new and starting at square one and making no assumptions or claims about myself that I know anything. It's that simplicity of just naked presence that doesn't try to impress, that I think is most great about his being, the not needing to have a facade to make other people feel like we're in the presence of some enlightened being, but totally without any kind of formality, just a total peaceful, compassionate offering of his being. And I feel you have that same energy, Amrita, in your offering, and why so many people, when they come to the ashram, feel so happy, because they see someone in that state of beautiful simplicity and compassionate presence. So yeah, it's a beautiful seva that you do in that same spirit. So thank you. Kalyan.
Thank you, darling. I have been deeply moved by this evening. And I think what I can say that just sums it up is that my heart has been opened. And the feeling is that peace. It is such a beautiful feeling to feel and feel that I can embody that. And I think that I was just very, very inspired by your words and your opening of your heart that you always give. And also was reminded again by that same feeling when Thich Nhat Hanh was speaking. And there, in both instances, there's this emanation, this constant embodiment of intelligence, of peace, of love, and I can see how powerful that can be. And so it was that power of the connection to God, mm-hmm. is what I feel like I've witnessed this evening. Mm-hmm. So I just feel it's one of these evenings that I'll never forget, and I'm really grateful for that. And also the reminder that many have spoken about of presence and how we sacrifice presence for the future or the past or just not being present. Was also one of the key points that it really touched me. And I didn't get the sense that, you know, even though this is an edited film or video that we saw, that presence or that power and embodiment was ever for a moment, not there when the cameras were not there. So, what a beautiful example of that. And I just feel so fortunate in the space that we have here and having these reminders. So thank you.
Thank you. Those are beautiful words, Kalyan. And what you saw is what you are. And you express that in your life and in your seva and in your dedication in the most beautiful way as well. And I think you need to appreciate that you're seeing a mirror of your own greatness. So thank you. So I think those are good last words to sum up the evening. I appreciate everyone's dedication to simplicity and to presence and to realization of your liberation now, not in the future, and to appreciate the beauty of our interbeing as a single superorganismic whole that we live in and as and from, and that we are all nourished by, and that each of us is nourishing each other through our own generosity of spirit in all the seva that we do and in all of the love and the joy that we emanate and in all of the learnings that we share and grow from together as a community. And I think perhaps maybe even the most important point that he kept reiterating was community, how important it is. Without community, nothing can be done. And it's only because we share all of the duties as a group that we have the luxury and the time to meditate and to learn and to have evenings and classes like this. So thanks are due to everyone for our combined efforts that bring about that capacity that we have to have the time to grow and to share and to be able to overflow the community with love that can offer help to the world that is in anxiety and in lack of presence. So all of us are part of a single energy field that is bringing transformation to the planetary field, and it's with great gratitude that I appreciate everyone's contribution to this wonderful effort. So thank you all. Namaste. Namaste.